As Unitarian Universalists, we find wisdom and inspiration in many places, Jewish and Christian scripture and other sacred texts, the arts, science, nature, and our own experiences. Our tradition keeps us open to revelation from many sources. Today's wisdom comes from Barbara O'Brien, and it's called The Buddhist Earth Witness Mudra. It's from Learned Religions. Just before the historical Buddha, Siddhartha Gautama, realized enlightenment, it is said that the demon Mara attacked him with armies of monsters to frighten Siddhartha from his seat under the Bodhi tree. But the about-to-be Buddha did not move. When Mara claimed the seat of enlightenment for himself, saying his spiritual accomplishments were greater than Siddhartha's, Mara's monstrous soldiers cried out, "I am his witness." Mara challenged Siddhartha, "Who will speak for you?" Then Siddhartha reached out his right hand to touch the earth, and the earth itself roared, "I bear you witness." Mara disappeared. And as the morning star rose in the sky, Siddhartha Gautama realized enlightenment and became a Buddha. The way we think of ourselves as being separate from the earth and air and nature is part of our essential ignorance, according to Buddhist teaching. The many different things, rocks, flowers, babies, and also asphalt and car exhaust, are expressions of us, and we are expressions of them. In a sense, when the earth confirms the Buddha's enlightenment, the earth was confirming itself, and the Buddha was confirming himself.
So many props. Okay. We'll put that there. All right. Oh, I chipped it. Okay. The kids were great, by the way. They were much more careful with it than I was. So our theme this month is integrity. What does it mean to be a people of integrity? My question is a little more basic. When we're faced with the reality of being made of star stuff, as we discussed a few weeks ago, and when we are on a planet that has existed for a longer time than any of us can imagine, how do we maintain our personal integrity? How do we keep a sense of ourselves and still manage to understand that we are part of a planet and a solar system and a universe that is older than we can understand, larger than we can know, and will continue past a time that our descendants will remember? When faced with eternity, how do we maintain any sense of integrity? When geologists were faced with this question, they came up with an idea about time. They needed to understand the passage of time at a scale that was more than a lifetime, a dynasty, or even an empire. And they developed an idea called deep time. Time that is about the rocks and processes that happen under our feet that pass in units of millions of years. A Scottish philosopher named James Hutton pretty much came up with the term and is known as sort of the father of geology. He had studied the cycles of water, of rain, of how it was, it evaporated, went into the clouds, rained down, and then followed down into the sea. And he also observed that this seemed to be the same thing for dirt, for soil, through erosion. But he recognized that the whole world then wasn't this one flat plain. We had mountains and hills. So he was trying to figure out how and why that might happen, and he came upon a belief that he proved later that the earth lifted up the seafloor, and there was a cycle, a very benevolent cycle of earth being lifted, washed out to sea, building up under the ocean, lifting up again. And he also saw that this had to happen over the course of thousands, if not longer, years. He was just coming out of a time when people truly believed the earth was 6,000 years old, according to the Bible. So it was a pretty radical idea. What was less radical was the reason why he thought it was set up this way. He was a deist, and he believed very deeply that God's purpose could be seen in everything. And he believed that God had created a world in balance specifically for the benefit of humanity. He called it the system of the habitable earth. He found a great purpose behind it, and that purpose was from God. Now, for those of us like me who don't have that metaphor of something as big as God to balance these millions of years and these processes and raising the sea up to the mountains, that's a challenge. How do you maintain your integrity if it's just you against the mountain? So I can understand deep time. I can hold this fossil in my hand and marvel that it and the stone around it is 50 million years old. But in this day and age, with our ecology in the shape that it's in, I'm having a hard time just seeing us 5,000 years from now. So this is my challenge. I'm faced with this, and then I see what's happening in the environment, and I'm looking for a way to think of myself in this place, of being able, millions of years from now, to look back. So I went on a search for any sort of evidence of people who are showing me the way to do that, and I found thoughts and words and some actual physical works that are in our world today from people that are doing this work. And I wanted to share some of them with you because they're kind of remarkable. They really are. So there is a dedication on a small monument on the banks of the Colorado River, and it reads, "It is fitting that the flag of our country should fly here in honor of those men who, inspired by a vision of lonely lands made fruitful, conceived this great work." And that great work is the Hoover Dam. That monument is also a dedication to the over 100 people, the workers who died during the construction of it. And it does also say they died to make the desert bloom. There are winged Art Deco statues that are 30 feet high that flank this monument stone. And it rests on a tiled plaza that's open to the public, so you can go there. And if you do, and you look at that tile, you'll see that Oscar Hansen, who was the sculptor who worked on the Hoover Dam, has put a star map on that tile. And when you look at the star map, it shows the position of the stars that were in the sky in 1935 when Hoover Dam was dedicated. And part of the reason he's doing this is because there's a thing called precession, where our planet moves in a cycle that's 26,000 years long. And I won't go into it too much, but basically, it makes our North Pole, the area that we're pointing at in the sky, change. We do a little bit of a wobble. And so right now, Polaris is our North Star. But in 12,000 years, Vega, a different star, will be in that position. So Oscar decided that it was necessary to show this star map because he fully expects that 12,000 years from now, people will look up in the sky and they'll look down at this star map and then they'll have to do some math. But it will help people in the future, thousands of years from now, understand when Hoover Dam was built. That is his vision, and it's in this tile. In another part of sort of the southwest, in the Sierra Diablo Mountains of Texas, there is a clock. And to see the clock, this is a description from the folks who are working on it. You need to start at dawn, like any pilgrimage. Once you arrive at its hidden entrance in the opening of a rock face, you will find a door and then a second steel door beyond it. They act as an airlock. You rotate its round handles to let yourself in and then seal the doors behind you. It is totally black. You head into the darkness of a tunnel a few hundred feet long. At the end, there's the mildest hint of light on the floor. You look up, there is a tiny dot of light far away at the top of a 500-foot-long vertical tunnel. And there is stuff hanging in that tunnel. The dot of light beckons you, and you begin the ascent. And eventually, you arrive at the winding station. It takes two or three visitors to push around the capstan of the clock and to lift its 10,000-pound stones. You rotate around until you can no further, and now the chime on the clock is wound. And if you are there at noon, the bells will start ringing their tune. Finally, out of breath, you arrive at the primary chamber. Here is the face of the clock, a disc about 8 feet in diameter. It shows the cycles of astronomical time, the pace of the stars and the planets, and the galactic time of the Earth's precession. If you peer deep into the clock's working, you can also see the time of day. This clock is designed and is being built to last for 10,000 years. It will be heated by the change between daytime and nighttime temperatures to create the energy to keep it running. And he fully expects that we will be able to wind that clock in 6 or 7 or 8 or 10,000 years. One of the members of the group that's developing this describes sort of the inspiration behind it. And this group is called the Long Now. They are a group of people. It's an international group focused on helping us think about being here in thousands and thousands of years. And he wrote, "When I was a child, people used to talk about what would happen by the year 2000. And he writes it 02000 rather than just four digits. He fully expects we're going to need five. For the next 30 years, they kept talking about what would happen by the year 2000, and now no one mentions a future date at all. The future has been shrinking by 1 year per year for my entire life. I think it is time for us to start a long-term project that gets people thinking past the mental barrier of an ever-shortening future. I would like to propose a large, think Stonehenge, mechanical clock powered by seasonal temperature changes. It ticks once a year, bongs once a century, and the cuckoo comes out every millennium." There is a second one that's going to be built in Nevada as well. They fully intend to keep doing this to change our way of thinking so that we can plan on 8,000 years from now going to wind the clock to listen to the chime. Over in Germany, well, Austria, sorry. If you've ever learned at your organization about preserving records, you know it's almost impossible. Paper crumbles. They keep telling me microfiche is the very best thing, and nobody has a microfiche reader. So Martin Kunz is a ceramicist, and he is curating submissions for his project called Memory of Mankind. Inside a section of an active salt mine in Austria, there are more than 600 8-inch square ceramic tiles that he has already laser printed with scientific papers and love letters, newspapers, and photographs. Ceramic tiles are non-reactive. There's little that can degrade the materials. And archaeologists have dated fragments of Chinese pottery going back 20,000 years. Each tile holds 50,000 characters of text, and he's developing a way to have each tile hold up to 5 million. He is building a library for people to read in 15 or 20,000 years. And then finally, I want to close with describing a horse on a hill. First, a quote. This is from the Welsh Red Book of Hergest. This was written in 1382. "Near to the town of Abington, there is a mountain with a figure of a stallion upon it, and it is white. Nothing grows upon it." 350 years later, an archivist from Oxford wrote, "The ceremony of scouring the horse from time immemorial has been solemnized by numerous concourses of people from all the villages round about." And this is a picture of what the horse looks like today. that's pretty much taken from a drone. It's hard to see it from the ground. You can see it's pretty cool. It's also from a cover of an XTC album, if anybody remembers that. It looked familiar to me for reasons. Researchers still do not know why the horse was made. Before archaeologists did an excavation, it was thought the design was sort of scratched into the chalk surface. But an archaeologist found out that it can be up to a meter deep in parts of that hillside. And so they were able to date the horse to about 3,000 years ago. Now, left by itself, that chalk form would disintegrate over the course of 20 years. So at least every 20 years for 3,000 years, people have come to re-chalk the horse. To scour it is to clean off the extra vegetation, and then they literally brought chalk and broke it up and kept it white and kept it shining. Now, that group that's making the clock in Texas, they have a branch in London, and they decided to come out one year and help with the horse, help to chalk it. And Christopher Daniels is the lead organizer, and he explains why this way. Many of the oldest protected routes across Europe are routes of pilgrimage. They were stamped out over centuries by people carrying or searching for meaning. And I'd like to point out that now twice, talking about things that are not specifically religious, the word pilgrimage has popped up. I want the horse chalking to carry meaning across both time and space. If even just a few of us go to the horse each year with this intent, it becomes a tradition. Once something becomes a tradition, it attracts meaning, year by year, generation by generation. On this first visit to the horse, one member brought his kids. A couple of other members said they wanted to bring theirs in the future. This relatively simple act becomes something we do together, something we remember as much for the communal spirit as for the activity itself. In so doing, we layer new meaning onto old as we bash new chalk into old. And as I was doing research on this, I decided to go to the village website, and I found a newsletter about the horse. And in the newsletter, they talked about this visit from these folks from London. And basically the newsletter says, yep, and then we chalked the horse like we do every year. And then some folks came up from the Long Now group in London, and we expect that they'll be here next year as well. And that's it. Just, yeah, well, they'll be back. We'll keep doing it. So the London group found great symbolic meaning and ritualized community building, and that's real. But I appreciate that the local newsletter is just about expecting them to show up next year to help again. So sometimes it seems like being part of a long-standing ritual is just about getting it done. So in conclusion, I just wanted to remind you all that on this planet, there are people turning this 4.5 billion-year-old rock into a world that they live in and that we can all inhabit. There's a mosaic by the Colorado River that has a calendar that uses the passage of stars to talk to people 10,000 years from now. There are a group of people who are building a clock that will chime for visitors in 8,000 years if we are willing to help wind it. There is a salt mine in Austria with ceramic plates decorated with thousands of stories that should last for 20,000 years. And there is a horse in Uffington that has lasted for 3,000 years and will probably last at least that long into the future, because every year they go out and chalk the horse. So hopefully this points towards ways that we can not fall apart in the face of this 200 million year old fossil, because there are ways that we can actively step out into the world and make ourselves part of this process that will go on for billions of years. So thank you very much.